6:03, time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big girls, it's for everyone in the family.
And big toys for big girls.
I want to switch it around. Big girls, big boys.
Well, it doesn't rhyme. Well,
it's always like toys for big boys and girls.
Yeah.
You know,
we got
fair play there.
Inclusive, man. It's
right.
2017.
It's, yeah, everyone's included. 6011 Folsom Boulevard in Sacramento. Welcome into the drive. It's Dave, Katie, and Nate.
Hi.
All in studio. Everyone's here.
True.
For, I think, this whole week, unless someone gets sick.
Well, yeah.
And then next week, no one will be. We're all over the place.
We're everywhere.
We'll be at spring training. Nate and I will.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be in Phoenix, and Katie will be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
No, I won't.
No? Where are you going to be?
No, I won't. I'm, you forgot.
I did.
I am taking those three days off in lieu of the days that I worked after the trade. Since you guys are going to be on the road. You knew this. We talked about
it. In your face, Dave.
Yeah, because you guys are going to be obviously in Arizona doing spring training, yeah, which is all interviews.
Obviously.
And we know how easy that is to do interviews when there's yeah, somebody in studio.
Hey, Bob, hold on a second. We've got a person that's talking to
you. 1,000 miles away.
Yeah. Not that I object. Am I the only one that didn't know that? Did you know that?
I'm not sure. I feel like I knew that. But, like, you know how I kind of drift, and so if she's like, no, I told you, I'm like, oh, you probably did.
Mm. Well, men are really conditioned to not hear the words that come out of females' mouths.
That's
they
it.
Just
and
hear...
So, between that and self-doubt being, like, my biggest
self-doubt.
Nemesis.
SD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got the old SD.
We're all
yeah, no, we talked about it a while ago.
I'll step in front of Katie here. She said it on the air.
She did?
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah,
shut up,
see,
Matt.
See, I totally remember that.
Kiss ass.
It's Moana.
Yeah, right.
Mona.
Shut up, Mona.
Mona.
Matt gets on me. I tweeted out yesterday. I was like, hey, it's just me.
Yes.
Or is this tournament been kind of lame? You know,
Matt would be that
Matt's
guy.
Like, it's Brett's busted. And the previous tweet was literally because of the Matts of the world. Previous tweet was like, hey, listen, I still have, you know, I still have my champion, you know, and three of my final four. This is literally the tweet. This isn't bitter beer facing. I'm just saying it, which just saying is one of my pet peeves. And
just
I did
saying.
It, you know, hey, and then Matt cracks back with that, which I understand. I don't know. For me, it picked up over the weekend.
Well, there haven't been buzzer beaters.
Not a buzzer beater, not an overtime game.
But there's been a couple of...
Yeah. The Michigan story is great.
Upsets.
Yeah, there's been the upsets, and we'll get into that later when it comes to upsets and seeding.
I guess I have three of my final four left, too.
Yeah.
It's not
that. And I understand, you know, if your bracket gets busted, it takes the luster away from the tournament, or at least it does for me. But I don't know. Compared to years past, this has kind of been a decent tournament. But again, if you go through the whole entire first weekend, you're talking 48 games. Am I doing this right? 32 games plus 16. Yeah, 48 games, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, 16 on the first day, 16 on the second day. That's 32. That's half of the field is 64, which gets narrowed down to 32. Then you have to have 16 games, eight on Saturday, eight on Sunday. So that's 32 plus 16. That's 48 games that happened between Thursday and yesterday. Not a buzzer beater, not a overtime game. Not one. Princeton had a shot to win it against Notre Dame at the buzzer.
They blew it.
They blew it wide open three. There were a couple
Wichita
others.
Wichita State had a chance too, but.
Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, I'm sure it's happened. But I would like to see ESPN or one of the Elias Sports Bureaus. What was the last time we had an opening weekend of 48 games without a single buzzer beater? I can understand the buzzer beater thing. That takes a special confluence of events, but overtime?
Well, it's kind of weird, too, when you think about other sports. It was, you know, we just saw our first overtime in the Super Bowl.
And, yes.
You know, like, that's crazy. You think about it, like, 50-plus years.
But what if there were 48 Super Bowls in 4 days?
Yeah.
And you get a single overtime?
What if there was 51 Super Bowls over 51 years and you didn't get a single overtime?
Yeah. Eh.
Not quite the
no.
same.
Did you get any on you, Dave?
No, some on the microphone.
Ew.
So I guess it'll be you and me in Phoenix, Nathan.
Alone.
Monday, Tuesday, kinda. Wednesday. Doing a lot of time hanging out and our hotel room.
You're going to wear your knee-high socks and stuff? The weather's going to be nice.
Yeah, you guys, it's so nice. Are you taking your golf clubs?
Ball cap?
I was thinking about
it. It's not your business, Katie. Yes.
Oh, well, hey, Nate, you can be an ass, or you can tell me if you want to go golfing, and I can try and hook you up with a round of golf.
Right.
I know some people in Phoenix.
I don't think you do.
Okay. I'm. Sometimes I really wonder why I bother to come to work.
I'm just going to let that hang.
Had to make it weird.
Just going
to
let it hang, right? It did get weird. I think it got weird all of a sudden.
Got weird.
Right? That's what happens when everyone's gone. You finally come back to Monday. No one's happy. You know, most people can get a cup of coffee and go to their cubicle and, you know, pretend like they're working for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Not us.
We got to deal with one another.
You got to go on the air. Anyway, go on the air and deal with the familial issues.
We got to talk.
Now then, it gets weirder because then Thursday, Friday, you guys will be here, correct? Katie, you're back?
Yeah, but I know we leave on Thursday, so I'm assuming we leave in the afternoon.
So you'll be back Thursday.
Yeah.
Nate, you'll be here. I'll still be in Phoenix. I'm staying down in Phoenix Thursday, Friday.
Oh.
And then Friday, I'll be in Phoenix. You'll be here, Nate. Katie, you'll be in
New Orleans.
We are not doing
that. Wow.
One of us is.
Yeah. Katie might be getting an extra day. Well, you know. No, won't be. Yeah.
If it's a Friday, I'll volunteer.
Yeah, we'll have to flip. Oh, well, Stevie, you can't do that either.
No,
you can't have me in Phoenix and her in New Orleans.
And then just.
You're on no matter what.
I'm like the word. I'm the conduit.
Yes. I got to leave early on Friday, probably.
Gross.
Yeah, flight leaves early, so I got to leave like 8. And then Katie will be in New Orleans. My goodness, can we ever just be in one? And then all summer, we're all going to be here every single freaking day.
Probably.
Everybody will be here every single day. Hey, congratulations.
I mean, maybe.
I mean, you know, except for vacations and stuff. Or sicknesses.
Those aren't a thing.
Or, you know, things like being fired.
Oh, well, there's that.
Ew.
Jeez.
What's wrong
God
with you?
Dang, Katie.
I mean, I'm in a very positive mood. I was great before we went on air.
Is it because today's National Proposal Day? Is that what's going on? Today's National Proposal Day. I feel like that might be the issue. Either that or did you and my wife communicate over the weekend and form like one giant female Voltron against Dave? Because that could be happening too. Because that's, you know.
What, you got issues on that front, too? Yeah.
Oh, two, as in you?
No.
Oh, as in yes.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
You're dealing double time on the, whoa.
It's National Proposal Day. We're going to get to that later, but it is National Proposal Day,
everybody.
That'd
be creepy and weird to do that on National Proposal Day.
What? Propose?
Propose.
A little bit.
Like if you knew.
Saw a stat, 47% of, I didn't see a stat. I stole it from Pat and Tom of the Country Show. I'm such a liar, but. 47% of people say it's okay for the woman to propose to the man.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think that that's not okay. I just would be curious as to what the actual percentage of proposals from a woman to a man are. Not
well,
that it's okay.
I know
or
how
not.
Your proposal worked.
Mine was, hey, you're 6 months pregnant. You want to do it? Yeah, okay. All right, let's do it.
What about you, nice. Nate? I mean, you're recently married. How did that proposal work out? Or was it just more of like, we've been together long enough, so
basically.
Let's just do this?
Yeah.
Basically.
I mean, there's no, I see stories. I see stories of people proposing, like, one knee at a skating rink. Or wherever.
First off, doing it in public is just creepy. Like, it's, I mean.
Like, a restaurant's creepy to you, too?
Anytime you're doing it in front of a crowd, yes, it's creepy.
Hmm.
Like, yeah, but is it creepy to you? Is it creepy to the girl? Because doesn't the girl like that half the time? And that isn't the proposal for the girl
I
if you're doing
think,
it?
I wouldn't think so.
She wants, you know, it's like the wedding. The whole focus is on her.
I think, no, like, that's weird. Like, I think that would be even more weird for the girl to be like, how do you say no?
Well, I've often wondered that.
Yeah. That's the whole point. Like, I don't know how else to put it, dude. Like, it's kind of rapey.
No, it's not. Shut up.
Public proposals are weird, dude.
No, it's not.
Yes, they are.
Get out
especially
of
like if you're doing it. Especially if you're doing it like on a jumbotron or something.
Now, I think it's ridiculous when they do it at like sporting events.
I mean, come on.
I know that there's a better word for that, but like it's weird and creepy to do that, and it puts it puts weird pressure on, like, I dare you to say no in front of all of these people. It's like the same reason that you go to a fancy restaurant to break up with someone.
Okay.
You don't want them to make a scene.
Those are second cousins, except in this case, you want them to make a scene. So it's the exact opposite. That has got to be one of the most dead spinny takes I've ever heard from you.
No way.
Proposing in public is kind of rapey.
It's creepy, dude.
Nate Goodyear.
Yeah.
That's isolate that thing. That's a promo. Except you probably got to bleep rapey. But still.
I mean, maybe.
For example, here's Grant and Jerry. Boy, did that bust a couple of brackets.
Wisconsin.
After that loss by Villanova, there was 9 intact brackets left. ESPN,
wow.
The
big boy.
9
German for no, 65-62. Wisconsin wasn't an 8 seed, and we'll get into this later. Wisconsin's about as much an 8 seed as Matt George is. It's just not an 8 seed. It's just stupid the way they do it. That was dumb. And going back to what we said earlier, there were some great games over the weekend. Not just good, great. But I give this overall tournament so far, and it's got plenty of time to redeem itself. But for me, it's C minus.
I
don't even.
Maybe.
What?
I mean, it's free.
Well, I'm not saying just because I say it's a C, I'm grading against other tournaments doesn't mean I'm saying you should watch it. I'm just saying compared to tournaments past.
So this is how, I looked up, how teams are selected, because, last night on the plane, I was going through, just all kinds of different stuff, because, there was some crazy games. Not only Duke's gone.
Duke.
Who was it that barely squeezed by UCLA?
UCLA. North Carolina had to come back.
Kentucky was
Louisville's gone. Baylor barely squeaked past UCLA, which was an 11 seed. Kentucky barely got by Wichita State, which we all can agree was not a 10 seed in the beginning. But so I'm looking stuff up, and this is, each member of the Division I men's basketball committee evaluates a vast amount of information during selection process. Their opinions, developed through observations, discussions with coaches, directors of athletics, and commissioners, and review and comparison of data, ultimately determine selection, seating, and bracketing.
Man.
You're deciding this based on talking to people?
RPI.
Talking to people.
Yeah, RPI is pretty outdated.
RPI. Rippy. Moving on.
That's it.
Oh, hey, how about the following soundbite brought to you by me?
Ugh, G-Man, dropping the stats, which are always depressing if you're a Kings fan when it comes to the Spurs, really. But I guess you could say that for about anybody that goes into San Antonio. It's not like other teams aren't experiencing the same thing. But, yeah, so Ben McLemore had his daughter.
Yay.
That's something to talk about with this game.
Yesterday. At the game?
No, he wasn't with the team the last two games.
That was the personal reason.
So he posted it yesterday, some pictures on Instagram of his new baby girl.
Oh,
so
congratulations.
That's a positive thing.
Yeah.
Nate, your turn.
That's about it for me. I mean, my big observation was I thought, were you guys in San Antonio the night before?
Because it was the afternoon game in Oklahoma City, so we got there about 8 or so, I think.
Seemed like Willie might have had a little bit too much fun the night before.
Oh.
He was
a bit of a space case yesterday.
Well, he's a space case,
but it just he kind of had the Sunday afternoon blues type of step slow.
That was kind of weird schedule, a matinee. You stay in Phoenix 3 days, then a matinee in Oklahoma City. And then you turn around, it's an early game, at least Pacific time.
Yeah, he had the look of a dude that, was playing in the consolation game and didn't really care if he won.
I'll say this, the three of the youngsters, this is the best positive I can take out of the game, Cauley Stein, Heald, and Labissiere, 20 of 34 for 50 points.
They're getting time. So the crazy thing is, obviously, the Spurs played the night before and lost to Memphis. Now they're 0-2 against Memphis this season. And they have them 2 more times before the end of the season, which is crazy. But this is a time now when teams are really jockeying for position in the playoffs. And so it was a little weird to see the Spurs, who had a game the night before and got in late, play both Kawhi Leonard and LaMarcus Aldridge. The only one that sat out for them was Manu. So that just tells you how important all of these games are for them, because they're still trying to get that overall one seed from the Warriors. So,
and another weekend of sitting players. We'll get to that later as well. And we'll also talk more about the Kings at 6:48. Right now, though, Nate,
I get the lousy one.
There you
yeah,
go.
Sorry.
Yeah, Nate.
No, it's just that's what you get for getting third. 49ers great Dwight Clark revealing over the weekend that he was diagnosed with ALS, more commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease. A letter from him, he says, in September of 2015, he started feeling weakness in his left hand. He'd been dealing with pain for a while. He also went on to say that he doesn't know if playing football caused this diagnosis, but he suspects that it did. He encourages the Players Association and the NFL to continue working together to make football safer, especially as it relates to head trauma. He says he can't walk long distances, can't play golf. Lifting over 30 pounds is a challenge. Not good.
No.
No, it's sad. And you hope that he can at least beat – ALS is not a disease you generally beat the odds with. The average lifespan after diagnosis is 3 to 5 years. But then you have somebody like Stephen Hawking – who has lived with ALS for 40-plus years. So, and you may say, well, yeah, Stephen Hawking's living, but, you know, he's obviously, his life is different from the average bear. But I'm pretty sure Stephen Hawking takes every minute with a smile on his face. With Dwight Clark, it's just a sad situation, and you
one of the all-time greats. For the 49ers.
I mean, it's one of the most iconic moments.
Oh, it was voted the most iconic moment for the franchise when they moved from Candlestick.
Knew this, but that photograph that was on the cover of SI is arguably the perfect photograph. Like, there's all of this. I forget exactly how it works. I'll have to look it up. But basically, like, in photography, there's a formula to the way that a photograph is constructed. And it basically, like, hits all of the...
It was like perfect in every way, and it was captured in the perfect way.
Artistically and mechanically speaking, it's like the perfect photograph, and it just, all that stuff is so random.
That was kind of the beginning of it for the 49ers, too. So
that's exactly what that was.
You know, we've been talking brackets and all kinds of fun stuff to plug in. That would be interesting, would be most iconic sports photographs. I'd like to see how the catch would do against Ali standing over Sonny Liston and stuff like that. When you talk about
the other one was the who was the guy that had the long jump?
With Edwin Moses?
Yeah.
No.
I don't know his name.
Not Carl Lewis. Before that, right? The guy who held it forever?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I forget what his damn name is. Some text would be like, how can you guys not know that? It's this guy. But there's that. There's Yogi Berra jumping into Don Larson's arms after the perfect game in the World Series. One of my favorite photographs that you'd see all the time at Giants games would be Barry Bonds when he did a home run in big games with his arms outstretched and you could see the ball ahead of him. Mm. We'll take a break. Anyways, when we come back, what will happen in this Sweet 16 round that has never happened in NCAA history? We'll tell you about that in 3 minutes.
Enjoy new McCafe macchiatos, cappuccinos, or Americanos at McDonald's, guys. This week only, try any small, just $1 each. Price participation may vary for a limited time.
How are your brackets doing? We'll do that in 3 minutes. And in the meantime, stay tuned for another word from Nate Goodyear on McDonald's. We're right back. It's The Drive. All right, we're going to talk brackets here and what's going to happen for the first time in a Sweet 16 that's never happened before in the history of the NCAA tournament. But first, breaking news.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Bam, bam, bam.
There we go.
Bam.
Well, Nate, you can rest easy, buddy.
Okay.
The case of the missing Tom Brady jersey looks like it has been cracked. Jay Glazer, Fox Sports, reports the FBI... For a reason, we'll tell you in just a second why they're involved in NFL security. Believe they have located Brady's stolen jersey, and it will be returned. The reason the FBI is involved, because it was on foreign soil.
Oh.
Now, according to reports, we don't know who, and we don't know where.
I think we know who.
Yep, it's Russia. It's definitely Russia, but you don't want to speculate.
You mean the same Russia that stole Bob Kraft's Super Bowl ring?
That Russia. Yes, you know, the one and the same, as a matter of fact. But apparently it wasn't just Tom Brady. It was two.
Yeah, both.
Two Tom Brady Super Bowl jerseys.
The one from the Seattle Seahawks game in 2015.
And apparently it was with a credentialed member of the media.
International media.
That's awesome.
Who pawned at least one of them.
Hey, dude, shoot your shot.
So more, this is such a great story. More on that as it develops. Everybody cannot wait. I got to know who it was, although it would be great if it was like David Attenborough or somebody. Somebody you know, I don't know. It's like the only foreign
That's
guy.
That's the only one.
Know,
right? Graham Norton?
There you go, Graham Norton. It was Martin Tyler. Yeah. Martin Tyler, Jeez. The soccer announcer, had it. I want it to be somebody we know, but it's going to be like it's going to be like some random dude mm-hmm. with some random, you know. Like,
but he did it twice.
Oh, Jean France. Yeah, he did it twice.
And I'm assuming it's a he.
It could be a she.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gender discriminate much.
Thank
or
you.
Whatever.
Mr. Sogyny.
Yeah.
Crapy.
It's Miss Sogyny.
Mr. Maybe. Sogyny.
Coming up in this Sweet 16 this weekend, UCLA and Kentucky will play. For the first time ever, two teams with a combined 19 titles will face off against each other.
Well, I mean, that's impressive, but that does seem like kind of an arbitrary number to get to. It's the first time ever that 19 titles.
Well,
that's the most
ever happened. Yeah, the second most in 98 when UCLA and Kentucky played each other, and it was 17. Obviously, there's been a title since then. Now, next time, it'll be 20. But there you go. UCLA, Kentucky will play with the most consecutive.
So
most
you're saying either Kentucky
title.
Or UCLA is winning?
I would imagine yes. Either Kentucky or UCLA is going to come out of that game. Probably.
No, I thought you meant like overall.
Oh, the whole thing?
Yeah, because the thing is about the titles that they won.
I got Kansas.
Oh, really?
I got Kansas winning the whole thing.
Wow, yeah. Bold play.
Hey,
I got
UCLA
at this point. That's what's left in my bracket.
Yeah, well.
I can't pretend that I'm like a college basketball expert, but I think one of those two teams could do it. And Kansas is possible too, but like, dude, so often in these tournament games, it seems like every year the teams that go home or disappoint are the ones that can't get the lid off the basket and can't create shots for themselves.
Right.
UCLA is going to score. And I think Kentucky is too.
Well, freaking Kansas scored 90 points.
Dude, Josh Jackson is.
They rolled through the first two rounds.
He can basketball.
See, here's the thing. Like Josh Jackson's good and all. But I'm watching Kansas, and I can't take my eyes off of Frank Mason. I can't take my eyes off him.
Yeah, he doesn't do it for me.
Really?
Yeah.
What of him doesn't do it? I mean, I'm curious.
I don't know that he's making shots consistently enough. Like when I'm watching De'Aaron Fox for Kentucky, I think that dude's on a completely different level.
Yeah, but De'Aaron Fox is 30 times worse a shooter than Frank Mason. But that's the thing. If you're going to have an issue, I kind of want it to be your shot, because the shots can be improved. You can work on shots.
You're Ricky Rubio.
Or unless you're Ricky Rubio. Although even Ricky Rubio this year is scoring a little. But, I don't.
Well, I mean, Jason Kidd spent a decade and a half not being able to shoot.
Yeah.
That's very, very true.
I
like teams that have future NBA players on them. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the go-tos when I'm picking teams. And so Kansas is going to have more than likely two lottery picks. Kentucky is going to have two lottery picks. UCLA is going to have a high lottery pick and then a first rounder. But then again,
Drew Alford.
Yes. Then you have teams too. And it's very different. This is a time of year when people will watch an NCAA tournament and they will start to get really high on players that are going to do next to nothing in the NBA because of how they look in the tournament. Mm-hmm. And it's littered with guys like Sean May destroyed the tournament he played in.
It's making the mistake of comparing them to other college players.
You think it translates automatically. No. Sean May, Shabazz Napier is another example of a guy who led UConn and blew the doors off of everything and really has just kind of had a fair to middling career. Even a guy like Frank Kaminsky, who's a good pro. He's a good, solid pro, and it's still young for him. But, my God, coming out of Wisconsin, you're like, oh, my God, Frank Kaminsky.
Same thing with Tyler Hansbrough for Duke?
Tyler Hansbrough, absolutely.
Yeah, but I feel like with Hansbrough, May, and Napier, there were questions about all of those guys.
Sure.
And most of it had to do with the fact that they were not the right size. Like, Sean May was too short. Shabazz Napier is tiny. I mean, those guys are easier to spot than looking at a dude like Josh Jackson, who physically fits the mold and saying, well, I just don't know if it's going to translate.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And none of those guys, I think, was Sean May. Sean May was like 11 or 12. Shabazz Napier, I want to say, was mid to late first round.
So was Hansborough.
And then there's exceptions to like Kemba Walker, who almost single-handedly led UConn to a title that they shouldn't have had. And you know, same thing with Shabazz Napier. It's like every 5 years UConn does this. And Kemba Walker has, has really come into his own. Mm-hmm. We'll break. When we get back, we will focus on the Sacramento Kings over the weekend. Who had the Kings were led in points and rebounds by Yorgos Papayannis in the office pool? Because it happened, and if you did, you won a lot of money because the odds were probably high against that. That happened Saturday. We'll get into that and more in 5 minutes on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. 6:47, time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big boys, it's everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard in Sacramento. Coming up later on in the show, you get a pair of tickets or an opportunity to win a pair of tickets to All Access happening March 31st, Tower Bridge Gateway Lot in West Sacramento, featuring Lil Jon, 2 Chainz.
He's different.
And many more.
Not three.
KHTK.com for more details. All right. One last note on the NCAA tournament here before we get to the Kings. Congratulations to Golden One Center. And I'll say this more than once today. To Golden One, Chris Granger, John Jacobs, and the entire crew. Scott Moak, who did PA for every single game. Steve Tebbs. All the people that put in so much effort. If you watch the games on TV, please understand that when you saw Golden One Center and you saw the way the floor and the building looked, it was not the Kings arena. There was no Kings signage. And even the only way you knew that it was the Kings arena is the jerseys and the rafters. Even the garbage cans that have the Kings logo on it, if you've noticed, those black garbage cans were wrapped. They were wrapped in a plastic. So these people go and not only
they pulled the curtains on the team store and everything.
It was amazing. And you were there, Nate, on Friday. I don't know why I laughed at this. I was out back on the phone after the show, and Nate was leaving in his truck. And I looked over, and I don't know why it made me laugh, but it was like truck o' good years.
That was exactly what it was.
Was you, your brother, and your dad, right? Uh-huh. And you guys all waved at the same time.
Bye, Dave. Right?
No, they were normal looking people. It's just I was just laughing at like Trucko Goodyear's.
Loading up the family into the rig.
I spent way too much time thinking about like dumb things. Like seriously, I put way too much thought into this. Like what music is on, or are they listening to anything? Or are they listening to talk radio?
KHTK.
Are they stopping on the way there? Are they to get some food? And you know, what is
where, did you eat downtown?
I ate at the arena a couple times, actually.
I'm wondering if anyone's tried that barbecue place. You haven't.
Sauced. I haven't. But, man, that place is packed every time there's a game. I saw pictures of that. My God, it
smells amazing walking by that place.
So, congratulations to them. It was a phenomenal. Every game was sold out. That's what the numbers said. Every game was sold out. And I was reading Alien Voisin's article this morning about all the commissioners that were involved saying how amazing it was. And not only are they going to apply for 2018, 19, and 20 already and try to get that here every year, but they're going to try to go for a regional final, which I imagine if they get that would be probably the first year after the Sawyer Hotel next to it opens, which I think is 19 or 20. Having a regional final here would be pretty damned amazing.
I thought that was supposed to open. You're talking about the Kimpton?
Yeah.
I thought it was supposed to be next year.
What is what are we in here? 17, so that'd be 2018. Okay.
I meant next year, meaning that could I always speak in like seasons. It's supposed to be open for the start of next season, I thought.
I don't know. I mean, whatever it is, I would imagine it'd be shortly thereafter. And then one guy sent a rather long text. Obviously, I'm going to be probably the only guy that identifies with him, but he was rather upset. He said, hey, listen, everything was great. Arena's awesome. It's super. Being locked in all day without being able to go smoke. That popped up quite a bit over the weekend.
You know what, dude? I don't even think it's just smoking so much as you got to be able to get out and get some sunshine and some fresh air. I mean, it's because the other thing is, too, they're not, and this didn't even occur to me until Thursday, but it's an NCAA event, so they're not selling beer or anything.
Sure.
You're just, in
they
there.
Don't?
No. So it's, you know, soda and all the food and stuff, but there's, you know, padlocks on all the taps.
Well, and what's crazy about it, too, if you think about it, is just the fact that there's so much downtown.
Yeah.
So many other, like, restaurants and stuff. You're basically...
So it takes
kind
like,
of stuck eating whatever's in the arena.
Which is right, part which, of the idea. Which,
yeah, exactly.
Luckily, there's good food at
sure.
the arena. You're not like forced into yeah. hot dogs
but
and
if
stuff.
If you want to go outside, but, if you whether great point, Nate, whether you want to smoke or whether you just want some fresh air, I think
it was a beautiful day.
Yeah,
day.
That's the.
Do
they have the things open?
I would like
it was
to
too cold.
I would like
I
to
think.
See them do something where after games start or something. Where the Pikachu is, the statue, whatever that is, the coloring book, the Piglet,
yeah.
you know, maybe make that cut, you know, where you lock that down for people that are at the event to at least go out and congregate. I think the arena is damn near perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they did a phenomenal job. If that arena has an Achilles heel, it's that. And I obviously being a guy who smokes, I bitched and moaned quite a bit and talked to enough people to where I get it. I understand why they did it. That big LEET 5-star green energy award that they got, they couldn't have gotten that if they had a smoking section. That would have eliminated that is what I was told.
This was America.
That's, you know, again, and if you're not a smoker, I get it. You're like, well,
I mean,
quit whining, quit smoking, whatever.
This is America where we now treat smokers like criminals.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. In this case... It takes about 2 hours to get through an NCAA game. Then you've got a half hour in between and then another 2 hours. I mean, so you're stuck there for at a minimum
four and a half
hours, maybe 5 hours. Like all I want to do is just get some fresh air.
Yeah.
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 That's an issue I hope.
Especially if the games stink, because that's the one thing. And listen, like I don't want to make it sound like I'm complaining. It was a great time.
Sure.
But, you know, if the games aren't, you don't get to change the channel when you're at the arena.
Right.
Right. You're right there.
So here's my thing. Like, at what point, why is it so bad for if you let people out? I understand, like, really it's just for smoking purposes. But what do you care if they go out and do it off site?
How would you let them back in? Is the problem.
You have a ticket.
Well, what if I want to leave early and I say, hey, you know what? I have a ticket. Let me give you my ticket real quick and you can go back in. Or what if I go to the gate of the smoking?
As long as somebody has a ticket, they're allowed to be in.
Sure, but now
they hand it off to someone else.
Well, no, you can't transfer tickets. But then here's another thing on top of transferring tickets. What if you're at the gate and I go smoke and then I hand you my ticket and you go around and you get in with that ticket and now there's two people in there? What if it's a huge concert and that happens 1,000 times?
I don't understand that.
If I have a ticket to a game or
right.
a concert, let's say, that's sold out. Let's say Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
And there's a smoking section where you can go out or you can go off-site. Okay. Well, what if I just go to the smoking section? I'm not even smoking. What if I just go outside and I hand you my ticket through a gate or something? And then I go back inside, right? Because I'm already in the cordoned-off area. My ticket's not going to check.
That doesn't work because literally the ticket thing is at the doors to get in.
So you're saying once you go outside, you have to go back in with that ticket.
Yeah.
I think it's the transferring of tickets. That's the problem. You can't transfer tickets. You can't leave. And it's the same thing. I mean, that's every ticket everywhere. You can't – I'm not saying I agree with it, but that's the rule. You can't transfer a ticket. I can't go to the first half of a game, decide I need to leave, and then have my buddy come in and take my ticket and go watch the second half.
Okay. Well, I mean, it goes to another – point as well. It's like, okay, you go to the game with your kids. What happens if your kid like goes in his diaper and gets it all over his clothes and you have to go get an extra change of clothes out of the car? Like, it's just, there's so many things that it just doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know. Oh my God. Is this, it is. Oh,
oh
my
no.
God. Okay. Let's fill you in. So this show Gas Money, which is on what? True TV. It's
that's
like
on one of the Comcast.
Yeah, it is. It's
oh,
CSN.
Is this a local show?
It's CSN.
Because yeah, they're at Rayleigh Field.
They're at Rayleigh Field. Mike Barnbaum is on. If you don't know who Mike Barnbaum is.
Wow.
Listening to the show now, I'm sure.
Friend of the show. And he's in you what? Oh, can you bring it up? Bring it up here. Bring it up. This is Mike Barnbaum on this game show.
He just won.
He just won. Ron Artest question.
Nice.
Attaboy, right. Mike.
Job. And there was our King part of this segment. Yeah.
Wow.
Woo!
You're still going. They're starting to play the music, buddy.
I'm sorry. I don't know. There's a very high likelihood that the previous 4 minutes of the show were only for the people in this room, and none of you were entertained by that.
Well, those of our listeners that have ever been to an event would appreciate that,
if you know Mike Barnbaum, you know how amazing that segment was, and that just happened out of the blue. All right, well, good Kings talk there, guys, and we get back.
It's great work, everybody.
We'll get back to the Kings later. I mean,
there's
you know,
plenty of time.
Come on. It's not like, I mean, come
I'm
on.
Going to press my luck to the next round.
Yeah, we'll take a break. NCAA's
no worries.
Next. What's going on with this seeding stuff? I mean, geez, what's the deal with this seeding? Yeah, he is. We're back in 4 minutes on The Drive. Sports 740 KHDK.